Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Let's get rolling. Call 866-680-6464. Atlantic to Pacific, north to south, across the globe. It's Bill Bennett's Morning in America.
Okay, crew, quick quiz for you. What do you call a Bernie Sanders tattoo? You heard this?
I have not.
It's called a Gramp stamp. I know that's really corny. It's terrible. Hi, everybody. It's Stephen Hayward sitting in for Bill Bennett here on Morning in America. And we're going to take a break from Trump for a little while and talk about one of the other important subjects that Bill and I talk about a lot and that Bill talks about a lot on the show. And that's the state of higher education, dominated by the left and the far left. There's an important new book just out called Passing on the Right, Conservative Professors in the Progressive University. It's by two authors, John Shields of Claremont McKenna College and Joshua Dunn of the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. And right now, Joshua Dunn joins us by phone from Colorado Springs to talk about this. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Congratulations on the book, by the way. I know you've been working on this a very long time, and it's a great piece of work. I'll just start with something James Q. Wilson once told me. You know, Wilson was one of the preeminent conservative scholars of the last 50 years who passed away, 4 years ago now. But I remember asking him once, do conservatives have trouble getting tenure, don't they? And he says, oh, no, it's really quite easy for a conservative to get tenure in a university. You just have to work twice as hard and publish four times as much as everybody else. How do you react to that?
Right. Well, that's a classic James Q. Wilson quote. And in many ways, it's true. I think that the scholars that we interviewed indicated that that in many respects, they felt they were held to a higher standard, that they did have to be bulletproof when they went out for tenure. But they also thought that there were some advantages for them by being held to that standard. It made their scholarship better. It made them better teachers. So I think Wilson is correct, but not everyone completely lamented the fact that they were held to that higher standard.
You know, I have to say I've always enjoyed the challenge of higher education. I guess I was always something of a renegade, and I even enjoyed many of my liberal professors when they were fair and they weren't politicizing the classroom. And sadly, I think there are a lot of professors who are still like that, even on the left. I do hear students once in a while say amazing things to me, like a professor who will start a class in the social sciences or the humanities, first day of class will say, you know, if you're Republican, you probably won't like this class very much. I'm just flabbergasted that someone would say something like that. Have you had a lot of professors report, you know, those kinds of episodes to you?
Yes, we did have many professors say things like that. In fact, we had, I'm not sure what percentage, but a large percentage of the professors we interviewed actually said that they were outed by their students because their students couldn't figure out what they were politically. And as soon as they couldn't figure out that they were conservative or liberal, they knew that something was up with them. And then that meant that they must be conservative.
Now, you mentioned very early in the book, you say something I think quite important. In fact, it's on page 7. I want to make sure I get this exactly right. You say conservatives are least welcome in fields where they are most needed. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Certainly. So in some fields, things aren't as dire as reports would indicate. So
like economics, right? Yeah.
Economics, even political science. Doing this project made me much more sympathetic to my own discipline of political science. But then there are some disciplines, for instance, sociology, where it's just very difficult to find conservatives. And we argue that conservatives would have much to offer sociology, that there are certain subjects that are desperately in need of more conservative voices, and particularly on social issues. And you think about sociology, they're concerned often with social institutions, but you don't have many conservatives in sociology making the case for the importance of families or religion and those kinds of institutions.
Yeah, oh, that's something you talk about a lot in the book, is that there are no-go zones. You know, James Q. Wilson was, I remember 30 years ago, the first time I met Wilson, he was still at Harvard, and he was saying, I can't get any graduate students interested in doing their dissertations on racial issues, right? It was too sensitive, and that was not new. This goes back to the Moynihan Report 50 years ago in the 60s, I think. But there's also, you tell in the book about the Mark Regnerus story at the University of Texas. Can you give a little thumbnail sketch of that story? Because I think it's very revealing of the problem.
Right. So Mark Regner is a sociologist at the University of Texas, and he decided to try and do a large-scale survey of the effects of same-sex parenting on children's outcomes. The problem with previous research is that you really just had convenient samples, and so the research wasn't reliable at all. And so he actually gathered a very large data set. And even people who disagreed with his conclusion said that his data was better than anything else that had been collected prior to his research. So he ended up publishing a study saying that some of the outcomes for children raised in same-sex homes weren't ideal, although he actually made the argument that they could point to the evidence could point in favor of same-sex marriage because it could perhaps provide more family stability, home stability, those kinds of things. But he ended up being just savaged as a result of this study. So that sends a very powerful signal to future sociologists that this is just simply an area that they should stay away from. Or if their findings end up not confirming what their colleagues want them to find, then they should just stay quiet about it.
Wow, right. Now, we're talking with Joshua Dunn, the co-author of a brand new important book called Passing on the Right, Conservative Professors in the Progressive University. You interviewed, I think, 154 was the total number?
Yeah, 153, if I recall.
53, okay.
Large number, yeah.
Right. And one of the things you talk about is there's a supply problem. I mean, I've thought about this a lot, too. When a student comes to me, an undergraduate, and says, gosh, I'm thinking about graduate school in political science, sociology, history, literature, one of those fields that are so fraught with left-wing dominance, and I have to hesitate to tell them that they should do it. Because, academic jobs are hard to come by no matter what kind of person you are these days. But if you're a conservative, it's doubly difficult. And so, I mean, what do you tell students? I mean, on the one hand, we need more qualified conservatives available to contest the universities because I think we do need to contest for them. On the other hand, the obstacles that you lay out are so formidable. So what do you tell students? What advice do you give?
Right. So the first piece of advice I give students is don't go to graduate school anyway, just because there are so few jobs. But if you still want to go to graduate school, it's possible. If you're on the right, if you're conservative, it's still possible to build a nice career. You just have to be careful. You have to be strategic. I often will recommend that students select a discipline where some of the political issues won't be quite as riven as they are in other fields. So, for instance, economics or political science. In other fields, though, I do have a difficult time recommending students go on to graduate school. Sociology is a field that it's really difficult for me in good conscience to say that it would be, it was never easy for graduate students to find a job, but certainly for a conservative graduate student in sociology, it would be a very difficult path.
Right. In addition to hiring bias that takes place and that you document in the book against conservatives, one of the things I've heard a lot, and you also mentioned it in the book, is that very few conservative faculty get to serve on hiring committees. And, I'm wondering if one of the remedies isn't maybe a college president to say to their faculties, look, I'm tired of these biased hiring committees. You better include some conservatives on the hiring committees or nobody's going to get tenure and advancement. I mean, it'd be hardball. It'd be a John Silber kind of move. But I wonder if we're getting to that point in things.
Yeah, that would be very difficult because there would be certainly a lot of backlash from faculty. And I think part of the problem is not just that there aren't conservatives on the hiring committees. It's that even if they are in a hiring committee, they're just one out of five or seven or one out of a department of 10 to 20. So they tend to be a very isolated voice.
Yeah, boy, that's right. The other problem is, we're going to go. You mentioned confirmation bias by liberals, and my perception visiting, being an inmate, as I like to say, at your parent campus at Boulder, so a lot of faculty who are liberals simply have never even seen an intelligent conservative. And so they like trafficking in stereotypes that we're all dumb and, don't think beyond country music songs or something like that. Right.
Right. They think that conservatives suffer from these psychological and cognitive defects that make them just unsuited for academic life.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the problem is it really does end up affecting their research. Because no one is there to point out problems from the other side.
Right.
This is why I think the work that John Haidt is doing with Heterodox Academy is so important. He points out this problem. This actually causes a problem for social science.
You're right. I actually had Jonathan on this program 2-3 years ago when I was guest hosting one other time, and And, you know, he still thinks of himself as a liberal, but he's sympathetic to us. But sadly, Josh, we have run out of time. But congratulations on passing on the right. I wish you all the best. I want to have you on a podcast for the Powerline blog. And please say hi to Sarah. Say hi to Sarah and Joe for me.
I will. I'll do that. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Josh. It's Stephen Hayward sitting in for Bill Bennett on Morning in America. We will be back after these messages. Don't go away.